For 50 years, there's barely a whisper out of them. And now, for no apparent reason, they seem to be back with a roar.
Everything we know about them is based on rumor or conjecture.
Everything which of your planet is quite limited.
The loss is yours. For I have visited over 100 different worlds, and none possess the awesome beauty of Romulus. To see the fire falls at Golgothon, and the spires of my home as they rise above the Apennix Sea at dawn.
I have surmised that Commander LaForge was conditioned by Romulans, a process referred to historically and somewhat inaccurately as brainwashing.
But I remember everything!
I rather enjoy writing. I don't get to do it very often in this job.
Perhaps you would be happier in another job.
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 16. I am Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week we have the North American Continental Championship results. We're talking about how to obtain autographed cards. And finally have our spoiler from Eleanor.
The reason they have appointed at you isn't set on stone.
Well, I understand this past weekend at the Origins Gaming Convention, there was the Star Trek 2nd Edition customizable card game North American Continental Championship. Well, let's cut to the chase, man. Who won?
Your friend and mine, John Corbett, took first place. The event was split into 2 days. Day one was six-round round-robin style. Day two was head-to-head. At the end of the first day, John Corbett was on top of the pack with 14 victory points and a TOS deck. So day two, they went through quarterfinals. Each player, one through four, played 8 through 5. Match play, best 2 out of 3.
Semis was Mr. Corbet versus Brian Sykes and Ben Hosp versus Neil Timmons. And as you mentioned, we already know the final came down to Mr. Corbet and Neil Timmons, with a Corbett for the win.
Corbett was playing a high-integrity Bajorans and Orion Slave Girl deck.
My estimation of him just went up several steps.
Timmons in the last round on the second day switched to a Klingon deck from the first day, where he was playing a Romulan TNG hybrid.
Just taking a look at the spread of the affiliations here, it looks like they, and I can't say this for sure, but it does look like there was a lot of possibility for cheese here. I see 2 Klingon decks, which makes me think of Klingon Riker and the Chancellor shuffle. We've got 2 Voyager decks, a TNG, an Earth DS9, which can still take advantage of some of that Federation nonsense, and then we had a Romulan deck and a Bajoran deck. I'd have to see some deck lists, but if all these decks are playing like the high level decks of their affiliation that I would expect, I'm actually kind of glad that Bajoran won the day. Although one exciting thing did happen, I hear that one of the Klingon decks was packing some engagement punch, and in a game against one of the Voyager decks, managed to blow Voyager out from under them, so that's always good to hear. As the victor of this tournament, Mr. Corbett has the one of the few 2-round buys in Day 1 at Worlds at Gen Con this year. He will have to play in Day 1, but he won't have to enter until Round 3. In addition, perhaps an even higher honor, he will be interviewed on this program in our following week's episode. We look forward to torturing you soon.
That should be entertaining.
I'm afraid I don't know too much about Romulan disruptor settings.
Well, most of the autographs that I have in my collection on cards have come through my co-host here.
Yes, I do have quite a number of cards with little scribbles on them, and I do like to play with them. I am not so much a pristine collector so much as I think the... part of the fun of actually having my autographs on cards is so that I can play with them, and it's just a pastime. I enjoy it. I have had a lot of people ask how I have obtained so many autographed cards, so I will pass my information on to you. Dan gets a Sharpie and signs all my cards.
I'm actually pretty good at it. That Avery book signature I gave you a while ago, that was awesome.
That was pretty hilarious. And seeing as how I was the only one who knew you signed it and then won it, was pretty hilarious. And it actually looks pretty dead on if you see his actual signature. But the rest of my cards are actually signed by the people who are on the picture. I actually was a pretty avid con goer, still a little bit, and now and then. But if you go to any of the summer conventions, Comic-Con, Gen Con, Dragon Con, Origins, I always like to check the schedule ahead of time, see who's going to be on their media guests list, and I pack those cards. One other thing that's interesting to do is when you check the guest list for a convention is to go through it with IMDb, because it's even if they're there because they were on another show, like Patricia Tallman, who played Lita Alexander on Babylon 5, was signing at Comic-Con last year because, hey, she was on Babylon 5. She was also the faux Romulan alien Jera from the episode Timescape.
It was also entertaining. We went to go see Tony Todd, and he had like 8 or 9 different cards to get signed, from the old version of Jake to Kern and everything else. And he was great to talk to, too. He was quite entertaining.
If you're looking to get a few more cards signed that you don't have, you can always check out what those actors are doing. I was actually just looking up the website. If you go to, I'm almost embarrassed to say this website now that I'm looking at it. It's www.startiger.com. Wow, that's awful. That's not what it was before, but they have a database of celebrity addresses, how current they are and how frequently people have had success writing to them, tips on how to ensure that if you are sending a celebrity something to ask them to sign it, ways to ensure that they are more likely to do that. My success rate with that has been about 30%. So don't send anything that you're really attached to and afraid that you will lose if you don't get it back.
Do you pay a monthly fee for that?
It is. It's $5 a month, which I didn't think was, or at least it was when I did it. Yeah. But what I did was I paid my $5 for the month. I went through and I looked up anybody who I would possibly ever want signed, basically the main casts of all the different shows, and just kind of browsed through their selection, see if there's anybody else I wanted. I copied all of the addresses into an Excel spreadsheet, and then I let my membership expire. So it really only cost me $5 for all that information. It's actually quite a deal. One of the kind of cool things about that website is that it does, a lot of the addresses they have are work addresses. So it'll have the studio address for a TV show that actor is working on, or the lot address for a movie that they're working on right now. That's how I was able to get Patrick Stewart, was I found out through that website that he was going to be working at the Shakespeare Festival in the UK for the summer. So I sent the letter to him there in advance. So when he got there, it was waiting for him. It's kind of, some of it is a bit about timing. I usually send along a self-addressed stamp envelope, so it's really easy for them if they don't care about my letter and all they want to do is be nice and reply. They can scrawl their name on the card, put it back in the case, dump it in the envelope that I've enclosed for them, and send it back to me. I've gotten cards back from Rene Auberjonois, who plays Odo, Mark Elliamo, Ducat, Patrick Stewart sent my card back to me signed from him, all the way from Stratford-on-the-Avon, where he was working on the Shakespeare Festival there for a summer. So you can get just about anyone if you are persistent enough. If you're looking for something beyond the normal gaming convention circuit, you can go to www.creationent.com, Creation Entertainment. They are crooks. They will rob you blind, but they have a lot of really cool, higher caliber celebrities from your favorite shows around, and they have autographs there. And if you're very, very lucky, and you're a theater fan, which not all Trekkies are, and that's okay, you can keep an eye on the local theater stages. just a couple years ago had James Darren, who plays Vic Fontaine, come through town doing a concert. And I did not, but I know somebody who went on and got an autograph from him after that show. Even more impressive, Scott Bakula was in town doing the premiere of a new musical with one of the local theater companies. And I was able to go and meet him after the show, and he was very nice. Got to talk to with him for about 5 minutes about the show and about Enterprise and about Quantum Leap, and he was really nice, signed my program, signed a card for me, signed a card that ended up being Sir Dan's birthday present for his evil Enterprise deck. That's how I got my Zefram Cochrane sign. That's how I got my Dr. Leah Brahm sign, all from seeing actors in local theater shows and saying hi to them afterwards.
Foils versus non-foils?
That is an excellent question and something I've gone back and forth with. When we first got foils, I just thought it wouldn't work. And then when we got a common foil and tried scribbling on it with a silver Sharpie, and it actually looks all right. I have some foil signed. Now I think I just, if I have a choice, I think I do get the foil signed. I think it actually does look pretty cool. So you can go to game conventions. You can go to full-on sci-fi conventions. You can go to assorted websites to look up addresses and send them your cards. Or you can go through your local city websites or newspapers. We'll have a list of things that are going on in town, theatrical presentations or concerts, and just kind of keep an eye on that every couple of weeks and see if anybody who has a card might be in town.
All right. Well, thanks for that, and good luck to everyone with your stalking out there.
The military does not dictate policy on Romulus.
All right. Now we're getting to the part that I'm sure you're all excited about. The next playtest set that our intelligence sources have leaked to us is codenamed Eleanor. We have for you a personnel.
This personnel has got some icons in weird places. Yeah, it has a Maquis icon in the bottom left in the fourth icon spot. That's because in the second icon spot where Maquis usually goes is a Voyager icon. So it's a Bajoran personnel with a Voyager and a Maquis icon.
Well, this has to be Tabor.
Yeah.
As I'm sure most of you Voyager fans have already guessed, the current, albeit temporary, playtest subtitle is Token Bajoran. Which I think is fantastic. But that's where my fascination with this card ends. He's got a staffing icon. He's got some pretty decent skills. Engineer, physics, programming, science. He only costs 2, but he's got some nonsensical game text.
His stats are 5, 5, 5. But while you have 6 or more personnel in your discard pile, this personnel is cunning +2, strength +2, and cannot be stopped by dilemmas.
See, it's that last part that bothers me. I think the concept of doing a Tabor, I think, is good. You know, having the Bajoran Voyager personnel, the skills are all right, but that ability is just ridiculous. I mean, it's not something that doesn't happen. Voyager decks routinely are having to discard, 5 to 7 cards the first turn because... You know, if you don't get to play Voyager on your first turn, you have to wait for finding your way, and you have to download Voyager and play it on your second turn so you can play personnel to it. Then you've already got a bunch of person, you know, you're halfway there. And if you're using the big personnel like Janeway and Tuvok, you got multiple copies and you're optimizing with them, you're going to get there really fast, and suddenly he costs 2 and he's unstoppable.
Well, I don't think my opinion is quite as extreme. I think 5 to 7 cards is a little exaggerated for the first turn discard, but 2 or 3 people maybe. I think it fits really well with the Chakotay unstopping people, since he doesn't have to be targeted of that. And I think it opens up an avenue for Maquis to have another Bajoran to try to solve some Bajoran missions instead of just relying on Ro.
But as we mentioned, Eleanor is still in the playtesting phases. This is an early version of this card, so... If you're listening, playtest team, make some changes. If you are playing just a vanilla Bajoran deck and you want to throw him in, he is a good two-coster for some skills. You have the usual decision to make as to whether or not you want to leave some people in your discard pile and get his bonus or Gratitude Festival them away.
And Bajorans don't have a lot of personnel that allow you to become unstopped or you know, evade the stop in a mission attempt. So he fits pretty well. That's a new trick for him. I wonder how the skills compare to the 1E version.
It's less. I think he had like 6 or 7 skills in 1E. Everybody in Voyager had 6 or 7 skills in 1E.
His 1E version had honor and youth and resistance and stellar cartography. Wow, 4 skills that aren't in in 2E anymore. It's awesome. He also had engineer and security. So he's got quite a change from his...
So basically he has engineer now.
Honor, that's interesting. Huh? Yeah, well, his integrity used to be 8 in 1E, and his strength was 6, and his cunning was 7. So now when he's got his pump-up ability, his cunning is the same as his 1E counterpart, and his strength is even higher. That's kind of rare. So when we get the collector number for Tabor and his actual subtitle, we'll pass that along to you.
Well, that's all the intelligence we have for you this week. I'd like to thank our producer, Matt Kirk, for putting together another great episode of Section 31, and give our thanks to Warp 11 for their fantastic theme song. Once again, I am Rogue Schindler.
And I am Dan Hammond.
And I will remind you, all out there, expand your power in the universe.
And I will discard Rule of Acquisition number 141 with Par Lenore and draw 16 to end.
The Corbett.
I think it's pronounced Corbett.
No. That means we have to talk to him.
We'll put that off till next week.
Oh, thank God.